Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and here we are right in the heart of Holy Week. We've celebrated Palm Sunday. And now, how does the church direct our intention? If you regularly listen to this program, but perhaps you did not hear Palm Sunday's program, which was recorded last Friday, please go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then go to radio, Food for the Journey, and listen to Palm Sunday's program, because I think it will help to guide you through this week if you haven't already heard it. Or if you want to listen to it again, just renewalministries.net, click on radio, and then click on Food for the Journey. And you'll see the dates will be listed there. We usually keep 2 weeks' programs up at a time so that you can easily access and listen to them. So now here we are in the heart of Holy Week. What is it? What is it in us that most obstructs the presence of God? What in us most blocks our gratitude? Or do we just ignore it totally? Where are we in the Christian life? Do I realize honestly what my Savior did for me in these days? And remember, we're not commemorating a past event. The life, death, and resurrection of life are always here. They're here for us to access. They're here for us to receive. We don't commemorate a past event. It's a living reality that extended from when it first appeared on earth. But the living reality and the graces that flow from that reality are there for you right now. So walk with Jesus in this week. Walk with him. From the prophet Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 7. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching, not making his voice heard. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Aren't there lots of times when you and I feel like bruised reeds and smoldering wicks? He will not break us and he will not quench us. He will care for and restore. Draw near to him. In your own pain, in your own carrying of the cross, draw near to him who carries it with you and for you. His carrying of the cross made your carrying of your cross grace-filled if you accept it. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. That's what God wants to do for us, brothers and sisters. He really does. He wants to open our eyes. He wants to bring us out from the prisons that we've put ourselves in, or the prisons that circumstances have put us in. He wants to bring us out of confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. I would venture to say a great, great number of people in this life walk in darkness. They don't know God. They don't know the purpose for their life. They don't know where they came from. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why. They're aimless. They're adrift. If you live your life with purpose and meaning, you will bring light into the darkness of others. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies themselves stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged upon me, even then will I trust. So no matter what the circumstances, wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, says the psalm, be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. It's an act of waiting. It's not just, you know, tapping our feet and drumming our fingers on the table waiting. It's waiting, alert, attentive, ready. And through that, we receive all the goodness that God has to give us. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So interesting, isn't it? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus comes back to his friends. He has a number of friends, but these are certainly among his dearest friends, whom Jesus had raised, Lazarus from the dead. So he comes back to all of them. And they gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served. While Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him, Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. Now, it wasn't this costly at the time, but do you know you could spend millions, at least a million today, for a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard? She took the best. She took the best. And not only did she do that, but she anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Sweet-smelling sacrifice that she performs a menial task. Simple, menial task. But she does it with a very expensive perfume, and the whole house is filled as she dries his feet with her hair. She loved him. It was a public act of service, kind of service common in those days, to wash the feet of your guests. Mary makes it very personal. And then Judas, the Iscariot, one of his disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, now, look at his heart. Look where he is. Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor? Oh, doesn't he sound upright? Mm-hmm. Righteous indignation. Why was this not sold and the money given to the poor? Why are we wasting it like this, is his implication. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. Think of that. Judas, little by little, you see how he'd been pulled away. Little by little, he had been brought down. Money became his god. Lying was just a part of him. So Jesus said, leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Did Mary bring that oil, that perfume, to anoint Jesus? You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Brothers and sisters, always put God first. Always. Always in every circumstance, put him first. He will draw very near to you. What's the right order of things? The worship of him is always first. Time spent with him is always first, unless somebody's in an emergency situation. Do you read his word every day? Do you conform your life? Have you taken this Lent seriously? Are you living it out? The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They were fascinated. Well, we'd be fascinated too, wouldn't we, if that happened to us? We'd be fascinated too. He was dead, and now he's alive. So they come out of curiosity. But Jesus will always use that to try and draw them to the truth. A large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of Lazarus. You always try to, you know, if you don't like the message, you always try to kill the messenger. Look, as you read over the last weeks, you read the Gospels, you see all the conniving, all the lying, all the pride that is at work, all the denial of God and everything of God, even when the facts were right in front of them. They wanted to kill Lazarus because they wanted to get him out of view and then people would forget the thing. Boy, those are really frightened men to go to those lengths. Why are they frightened? Because their whole lives are being turned upside down and inside out. All they have to do is get down on their knees and come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you teach me. That's what the teachers of Israel needed to do, and they refused. They had titles, they had honors, they had positions, they had privileges. The letter of the law became their God rather than the God of the law. Don't fall into that trap. It's very, very easy to do. I was also reflecting as I pondered this passage of Martha and how she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. What a very, very personal and most loving gesture. Pope Benedict wrote this about that situation. He said, there is only one anointing that is strong enough to meet death, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. There is then something that is both exemplary and lasting in Mary's anointing of Jesus at Bethany. It was above all a concern to keep Christ alive in this world and to oppose the powers that aim to silence and kill him. It was an act of faith and love. Every such act can have the same effect. When we do something good for another, to preserve in a certain way their goodness and to keep them safe, God is very honored by that, and God reveals himself. I mean, when you look at the Holy Spirit, as I've so often said, is the love of the Son for the Father and the Father for the Son, a love so great that it is the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit was given to you and me to bring you and me safely home to the Father. Cherish the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Cherish, renew your baptismal commitment. Renew your commitment at confirmation. Renew it. Allow those waters, allow that oil to flow through you again. It's as rich and as real as it was on the day of those sacraments for you. Take time. You'll find it in the Messalet. There's often the renouncing of Satan and the renewing of the baptismal promises. Do it very much during Holy Week, but it's something you can do privately as well. Allow your being to be anointed with the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.